This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
I feel like one day one of them is going to win a Pro Tour. Like,
man, it would be so wicked as if they go on and win a Pro Tour and then...
Absolutely.
Thanks, Jay Boosh.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
He looks at me, are you a pro? Not really, I just have a website. Then he goes, is it a pro website?
Jay Boosh.
They're like, holy fuck, we're both over here, man. We both can't be over here, man.
Scotty.
Like, I stared him right in the face. I'm like, I'm only here for the buys. He's like, so you only want the buys. I'm like, once again, I am only here for the buys.
And Jeremy.
As the 18 fourth member, I promise the listeners that I will get that man to talk more. That is my commitment to you.
And now, the 18.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 153 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, as always, with Jeremy Schofield.
Woo!
And Jay Boosh.
Yo.
But without the Mac tonight, without the Scotty Mac. So what's happening, guys?
That sounded like you were about to say something. What's happening, guys, is that this is what's happening. But I think what went happened there is that KYT was like, so what's happening, guys?
Yeah, I forgot a word. What's happening, guys?
But you forgot the question mark there, buddy.
Yeah, you kind of threw the ball up at the backboard and it just bounced off and hit the ground. Nobody went and put that one in.
Cricket noises from Kyle probably is what's going to happen.
What's happening? Nothing. I had a migraine, severe migraine today, and went blind for a little while. And when I had to go home, and I have a super bad headache, and now I'm on a podcast.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
Do you have any sweet over-the-counter medication?
I have prescription medication that only works half the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, perfect.
How's the coin flip going for you today?
Today, it was not what I chose.
Yeah.
So that was fucking just perfect. What's happening with the other two Jobins on this podcast here? What's happening?
What's happening, guys?
What's happening?
Rock, paper, scissors, you for it.
I've been sick this week, coughing. I haven't been sick in a long time, to the point where, it doesn't really matter because people are going to usually joke about, I don't say much on the show anyways, but I have to actively, mute myself when I feel like coughing. But work has been pretty crazy. We've got, a new director, and so that's the manager of my manager. So he's sort of been breathing on her, and she in turn on, you know, the stress trickles along, and then we really need to release this product by next month. So it's been pretty hectic in the real life world, but I'm happy to be here tonight to chill with you guys and talk about non-work stuff.
That's awesome.
Okay, Jeremy, how's your setup for tonight?
It's good. I tweeted a little picture, so I'm sure some of you saw it. Maybe Kyle will be able to dig it up and put it on something if he wants to put it on things. No, I'm not ill or sick or anything right now. I got over all of that last week. Had a busy week, like one of those just crazy weeks where it's just like you don't have any time to do anything. So that's been rough. On the weekend, though, did get to play a Moto PTQ. The set is just really grinding, really aggravating. Because I, again, like the sealed pools, I don't know if I'm just doing it wrong, but it just, it's so hard to like kind of get the right sealed pool and then to not run into the sealed pool you can't beat. So like, that's just where I was having trouble. It's just like, I just found like, you know, I won a game, won another game, or won another match, then lost the match, and then win a match, and then lost a match. Like, you know, it's just like, I can beat all of the big stompy decks because I'm playing a better stompy deck, but then I lose to the one drop, two drop ordeal deck. So, you know, like, it's like that, or you run into, like, the blue deck that just has more Voyage End or more Griptides than you. And you just can't beat their tempo play because this set is all about building giant Voltron monsters. And when they go back to your hand, they fall to pieces. So,
what did your deck this weekend feature?
This weekend did not have any gods or any weapons. So like that was kind of on the rough side of things, but it was a Prophet deck. And I really, really like Prophet because I feel like the card is a time walk in a sense. That like in the big green decks, if you've got like the Acolyte or whatever, the guy who, you know, taps for green devotion, even like the Satyr and stuff like that, when you get it out, then you get another untap phase and you get to like finish off emptying out your hand on the other guy's turn.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really strong like card that, you know, if you get to cast it and put it into play, you can just do obscene things.
I agree with that.
Really strong with Monstrous because now you're not losing any sort of like tempo Monstrous in your guy because you're still, you know, putting up cards on the board. You're still advancing your state. If you get hit with like an unsummon type effect, like it just comes right back. So it's just, it's a really, really strong card. It lets you play an unfair game of Magic. Now, it's a card that I love to see, but at the same time, I hate to see it because last week I was talking about the 13 land deck. And on the draft side of things, I was running the 13 land deck a few times, and every time I
made that. Is that a thing? Like you said it like it was a thing, but.
Well, okay, it's a sort of thing. Gerard Fabiano had been drafting it on his stream. There was a few people on Twitter talking about it who were, you know, experimenting with it. It's an interesting concept. Like I played it in Paper Magic. I only lost one match. And in that match, the only reason why I felt like I lost was because my opponent resolved Prophet on me in two games. And they just were able to get two or three more turns because, you know, they get to take two turns per turn, you know, as far as like dumping threats onto the board. And at that point there, I just run out of reach. So like it was a very, very fun deck to build and a very fun deck to play and just like mono aggressive. And online when I was playing it, the matches I lost to, I kept losing to Prophet. So it's just like, if you're building that deck, Prophet is a card that will just kill you because you can't beat the extra turns. So I don't know. Like, I enjoy it. I think it's a viable archetype to jam out there. It's not something I would say to do every time, and I don't think that you become a better drafter for playing it. But I do think that it is something that you can put in the bag of tricks that if you open up like the pack one, pick one, anal chlamydia or like one of the, like the little like white one drop guys or even like the 2/2 flyer that has heroic, like that card is just bonkers, but you can put that card in any deck because it's just, you know, one of those crazy things that you can Voltron up. So yeah, it was, you know, I played a lot of limited Magic this weekend. I didn't get to do any constructed Magic. A lot of paper, online PTQ, which, you know, just didn't work out. I really feel like you just have to have, like, this kind of, like, crazy mid-range deck, or you need to have, like, the not-so-aggressive heroic deck. I don't know the archetypes well enough, I'm guessing, because, well, I'm not having success with it, and I'm not playing enough of it, so. it's so tilting, it's just so tilting to play. Because I don't feel like it plays out the way that you would normally expect it to play out. Like, I feel like that it is a very high variance format, more so than what limited normally is. But it's just one of those formats where the card pool really levels the playing field. It really, you know, takes away from your ability to make, you know, good choices. Like, building your deck is still, you know, building your deck. But like you say, Jay, all the cards have so much text on them. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you can just get bombed out by commons, uncommons, rares, you know, like they all have that kind of stuff. And It's a match of haymakers. Like, nobody's jabbing. And if you're jabbing, you're losing. So.
Yeah. It's like the deck where you play against the turn 2 Satyr that untaps a land, and you don't have the removal, and you know you lose. You're like, fucking sweet. It's fucking wicked. Yeah, like, I find, like, it's almost like, I don't know, it's weird. It's like you are either killing someone by, like, turn 3 or 4 with, like, your ultra heroic deck that hopefully no one, like, you know, disrupts, because if they do, then you just have garbage cards in your deck. So you're, like, playing, like, a combo. Or you're playing, like, just big, fat ramp guys. And that's it. And then those, I don't know, it's just, I'm like, it seems to me like this is a really, for some reason it seems like it's a really difficult format, and the people that are good at it are the ones that get the format, and then they like it, and the people that don't like it are the ones that are bad at it. In my experience, everyone I know, including myself, that are bad at it, don't get the format, I guess. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what the big deal is. I don't know how to draft it properly. Like, in the sealed, I did fine, because in my sealed pools, I just ended up opening good stuff in things like pre-releases and stuff, right? So that's a little bit easier than, I guess, like a PTQ.
Yeah.
And I played it. Did I play it a PTQ?
Did you play the games? PTQ last weekend?
No. Games. Jay had a Star City Games.
No, it was like
the IQ.
The IQ. The qualifier, yeah. So I played it then, and that was like basically a PTQ. But, for Star City Games. But yeah, like that was shitty. I opened a shitty pool and lost. Like, I don't know. I just don't like this set. And I have a feeling that I'm not going to like the other sets either. Because I think they're going to be very similar.
Interesting.
It could be, like.
Well, I mean, they've already confirmed they're making gods and weapons in each set.
Yeah, right. Like, I think the next set is demigods, so are we going to be seeing, like, multicolored gods now?
Well, it could just be multicolored gods. Like, they don't have to be demigods, right?
Yeah. I think flavor nonsense stuff, they've talked about demigods and
oh, such. Did they?
Yeah. That these are, like, the five that we got in this set are kind of, like, the five main gods. And yeah. Then we're going to see the demigods underneath them as they build out the pantheon.
Weird. But yeah, like, and I think, like, if they make them the same, like, where they care about devotion, then obviously they're going to be better, because you can run them in a multicolor deck. But, I mean, I just think it just seems like it's going to be very similar. It seems like I'm not going to really care about it, and I'm not really going to want to play. It's just going to be Battleship Magic again.
I don't know, like, I want to figure this one out. Like, I've seen, you know, I've been keeping track of what's been smashing me down, and, like, one of the things that I've seen that's been consistently powerful is, you know, you got your big stompy deck and you've got your aggressive deck, and, like, pretty much losing to, like, the turn 4 Baneslayer has been, like, one of the things that I'm very consistent at. Where they drop the Pegasus or whatever, the 3-drop heroic guy, and then they bestow the 1/1 lifelink guy onto it.
Yeah.
Like, if my opponent does that, I always lose. So, you know, like, that's a consistent thing. So all I need to do is figure out how do I do that all the time to my opponent. So, you know, it's like, it's just, you know,
my big thing is that I don't give a shit about the format at all, and I hate it. So like, it's very difficult for me to want to try to figure it out, because while I'm stumbling, it's not enjoyable. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I lose a cube, or I lost a Innistrad IDW, not IDW, what am I trying to say here? What was the middle set?
ISD.
ISD. You know, then, like, I could still have a good time if I was playing, like, not World's Wake Zendikar, but, like RTR, or, I mean, not RTR, RTR, sort of, but what was that set that where it was, like, with the Eldrazi?
That was ROE.
Yeah, ROE. Yeah, that, like, if I was playing that, like, that was fine. Like, if I lost, if I didn't do well, like, I didn't mind that, you know? But this is just, like, I don't know, man. It's, like,
well, see,
I don't have any fun playing this set at all. And I keep getting fucking, I keep getting suckered into, like, playing, like, this format. Like, people call me, and they're like, oh, hey, can you fucking, can you come and be our sixth for draft? And then I'm like, I guess so. Alright, and then I go, and then I draft, like, what seems like a reasonable deck. It's not like it's fucking just 2-2 garbage. And then it just fucking, it just falls apart. It's dead.
See, I had a close friend describe me as a masochist. So, you know, like, I want to keep banging my head across this thing until I figure out how it works.
Right.
So, like, that's the thing, is I'm going to play tilting game after tilting game after tilting game. I'm buying a plane ticket to fly to Toronto to play something that, like, with my current experience and all of my testing has shown me that I will be out well into the early parts of day one. I might even get to do, like, a freebie draft, like one of those, like, happy hour drafts, like, with how poor I am at this set.
I would bet on that at this point.
You would
point.
Bet on that. That's awesome.
Hearing you talk about this, I mean, I have the opposite feeling just because I don't remember the last time I hated. Because I guess I like every format, just like how I like everyone, apparently.
Well, that's not the thing. I don't think I hate it. I'm not good at it, and that's frustrating. And yeah. I want to be good at it. I want to fix
it. I think the other thing, too, is that, like, it's like things that are good in most formats are not good, like, in traditional formats are not good in this. Like, it's
just, no, it doesn't.
It's very frustrating to just lose to, like, mechanics that they fudged so that their set would work. Like, Bestow becoming guys, right? Like, removal would be much better if Bestow didn't just make them an army of fucking flying guys.
Yeah, and I think that would be, like, that would be a night and day set change, because
Bestow wouldn't work.
It would
right?
be terrible. No one would do it. Like, you would.
Or if they or if they just printed some fucking removal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've had the situation where it's awkward, where it's, they have a Bestow guy on top of a Bestow guy, so
yeah.
Bouncing, the guy doesn't really do anything, because then he just, like, Bestows that same guy back, and it's like, no! or even grip tatting, they're just like, okay, top deck this guy, Bestow back the same guy, so he's the exact same powerful dude. I've had fun with the format.
I have too. That 13 card, like, that 13 land deck is hilarious to play. Like, I was getting consistent turn 5 kills with it. And, like, I was playing, like, garbage card. Like, I was playing, like, the Sable thing, the 2-1 artifact for 2. Because that card works in that deck. And, like, it was just a lot of fun to, like, throw a whole bunch of guys on the board and just, like, watch your opponent be, like, trying to develop their board, and you're already winning. Like, you come out of the gate hard. So, you know, I enjoyed that. Like, I would love to get a sealed pool where I could just try and, like, ordeal people on turn 2 every turn.
Yeah, every single turn, yeah.
Yeah, every single game. Like, that's what
same
I
with, like, things like things like Aqueous Form is, like, a super bomb in this format. And, like, I always just pass it looking at it. Like, I'm just like, Aqueous Form, I don't fucking want this card. But it's like, nope, put an Aqueous Form on anything, you just win the game. Any fucking card. Because every card has 80 lines of text on it. Fucking sweet. Then there's like a Sphinx where you discard a card and he has Hexproof or whatever. How do you beat that in Limited where you have no fucking removal? You need 4 Lightning Strikes to kill that thing? Okay, sweet. Fucking sweet. you know, like, it just feels, I don't know, like, I just don't get set. I don't know why they made it this way and I don't get it, and so I'm not interested in trying to figure that out. It's not turning my crank. The thing, too, that I find, like, a lot of people are saying, like, things like Nessian Asp, how I've complained about that card and how it's unbeatable. It's, like, super good, I find, but, like, my problem is that when I play it, they just sip of Hemlock at the next turn. When they play it, I never have that. Ever. Or they have 10 Nessian Asp. You know? And then you're like, oh, sweet, good thing I fucking got this fucking thing. Nope, I just die.
Jeremy, I just wanted to ask you earlier, for your PTQ weekend, you played, so with the Prophet, you played basically a straight blue-green deck?
Yeah. Okay. Like, that's the thing, I can't splash a third color, it never works for me, and, like, maybe that's something I need to, like, step back on, but I can't do the three-color splashes.
In general, you mean?
Well, in this format. Like, if you've got enough unicorns, like, if you got, like, a unicorn and maybe, like, one of those Burnished Heart things, Like, I could see it being there if you've got, like, the Traveler's Amulet, and, like, you're splashing for, like, a legitimately good card. But it's just, like, I've tried it, and I just always go so wrong. And, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's, like, am I being logical about this, or am I doing the, you know, I tried it, and it turned out bad for me, so I'm just discrediting the whole thing?
Yeah. But like, on the weekend, I drafted, like, a Bant deck, like, a Bant Weenies deck.
Yeah.
And I had, like, two of the, like, unblockable guys. I had one drops, two drops, three drops, four drops. Like, I curved a guy out, and then... And it was still, like, there was a game where I curved a guy out from turn 1 to 5, and he literally played, like, one card, and I still lost. Like, hard. Like, it was still, like, oh, what are you even doing? Oh, nothing? Okay, sweet.
What's the one card?
I don't even know. It was just, like, it was just something inconsequential. Like, garbage card. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, and he has, like, Sea God's Revenge, and he had that stupid Sphinx, and Aqueous Form. But, I mean, like, it wasn't like he was playing blockers, or he was, you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, sweet, okay, you play this, and then I die. You're at 8? You're at 8 for 11 turns? Because I can't do anything? Okay, perfect. So, I just don't like it, and I can't figure it out. I don't know why it's done. Like, I don't know how you make it better, because the things that other people are doing to me, like Jeremy said, where you take, like, account of that, the things that people are doing to me, I'm trying to do to them, and then it just, like, doesn't work.
Well, I played a PTQ myself this past weekend, and played one before, and I keep ending up with the, like, these twice I end up with the blue-green deck, because I think that's a deck you're generally going to end up with, because the commons and uncommons are fairly strong. I think both my pools were basically low on hard-hitting bombs and just strong, and so I would end up with like an average blue-green tempo deck. And I did okay. I went 4-1 and then lost that last one to a very close top deck war to go to 4-2 and drop. It was a 9-round tournament because over 200, I think roughly 250, over 250 players showed up to the face-to-face games PTQ, so that was awesome. And
250? I thought you had 208.
Or 208. I'm just, I don't know the exact numbers.
I keep track because I got a, you know, Edmonton got 230, so.
okay.
Just keeping me
in check. And so I ended up with the same type of deck. I was sort of mad at myself because in one of the games I did miss an onboard kill that I just like saw right after the game and just lost. But I am still making mistakes and learning a lot. Like my blue green deck, I had played two Vaporkins, and you know, for me it's one of the strongest for me and a lot of my friends, one of the strongest blue commons. Some people even put it at number one as a top blue common. But, you know, having people like John Stern look over my deck and other strong players and showing me that, you know, my deck has a lot of five drops, like Nessium, Asp, and six drops, hard hitting, and I had the Sylvan, the two mana rare that...
Yeah, Caryatid.
Caryatid.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of... I even had the heart guy, the Varnished Heart guy.
Okay.
A lot of rampy stuff, and so... He said, like, in this type of deck, you know, you're not gonna win via Vaporkin that consistently. But it's always been, for me, it's still a challenge for me to separate that, because there was at least one or two games where I went, like, turn two Vaporkin, turn three Agent of Horizons, the unblockable guy, and clock my opponent to, like, bring him down enough that the unblockable just wins the rest of the game. So there are those few games were, you know, they just won the game by themselves. But then I can see how, like, those two cards don't fit in the overall picture of my deck. That's, like, not the game plan of my deck at all. They just, like, if I do get lucky and get that particular sequence, I do win. So it's still hard for me to really evaluate whether it's worth it or not, because it does give me that, you know, that set of games where they just steal. But if I do run into, like, a black-based deck, certainly the Phyrex, that's not the first word, the two damage card, something cure.
Oh, Frieka. Frieka.
Yeah, that totally kills my Vaporkin to Agent Horizons draw, because then like I have these like, you know, this draw, but then I have these clunky, heavy casting stuff the rest of my hand, so they can really shut down that type of draw if I'm against that type of deck. So I'm still figuring things out, like in terms of in general. I never, when I draft or play sealed, I see my biggest weakness seems to be like I sort of evaluate cards in a vacuum and not whether they fit in my particular deck or not, whether this is like a rampy base deck or if this is an aggro deck, I should be more tempo. And so that's been the biggest challenge for me, and I still got a lot to learn. And I know for me, I know it's a weakness that I don't consider splashing enough. I always want to stay two color because it's just, you know, it's easier for me to build and just be able to like, I'm one of those guys that like am the last guy to submit their deck list. So I always panic. So the first thing I do is like try to eliminate as many colors as possible so I can just focus on the best two color build. And that's certainly a weakness of mine. And people have seen, after seeing my blue green build, other people have looked at my pool, said they may have gone black, white, splash red. And, you know, that's something like I discounted right from the get go, but it wasn't, after actually signing into it, I actually felt that deck was pretty good as well. It just like, because it had powerful cards, I just didn't think it was good enough. It had an Ashen Rider that it was like, that basically every time I sided into that deck, I won because of that card, because it's just so powerful. Two removal spells and a 5/5 flyer basically into one spell. So lots to learn from me, at least.
Yeah, see, that's just like crazy to think that that card is playable, but it is. And, like, everything in my gut tells me it's not, but it is. Like, I've seen other people play it. I've had it played against me. Like, I just, when I would initially look through a pool, my gut is telling me, like, that you just skip right by that card.
Because it's mana?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 5/5 flyer that, like, it's like a Desolation Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Not Desolation.
How do you not play that in Limited? Like, you play Bombs in Limited, man.
I know, but, like, 8 mana Bombs, like...
Yeah, you play Bombs Unlimited. It fucking kills something as soon as it comes into play. Or leaves play?
Yeah, comes in or leaves.
Both.
Yeah, how do you not play that?
My gut would tell me to stay away from something like that. Like, I usually stay away from, like, that top-end, high-curve, crazy bomb card because I always feel like it's going to be uncastable.
Doesn't make any sense. Like, I could see it if it was just, like, a 6/6 dragon for 8. But, like, it kills something when it comes in and when it leaves. Like, how do they beat that? You know what I mean? I guess they kill you before that happens. Like, I guess they're playing those decks, but...
Yeah, they go turn 3, that stupid flyer, put a bestow on it, and 4, and I'm dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then there's a good percentage of games that just drag long. And
absolutely.
It's just having access to that card at some point in your deck... just makes you feel like you can just break open the stalemate at any time. And this guy really dominates when you cast him.
Absolutely. And, like, the white-black deck is so grindy as it is. Like, it's actually, like, the perfect card for that deck. Because the white-black deck will make the game drag out. That's what it does. It's got high-toughness creatures early on. It tries to win the game by grinding the other guy out with some sort of, like, evasive flyer or something like that. Or even I've seen, like, that priest do a ton of work, the guy who does, like, the Blood Artist Strain type thing.
Yeah, that was also one of my MVPs.
Yeah, that card is really strong in that deck style, where it's just, like, all I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of kill you with all of this, like, weird situational removal or just direct removal out of the black, and I'm going to put all these defensive guys that kind of just slow down your board, and, you know, I've got the targeted removal in black, like the Sip of Hemlock, so that I can kill your Voltron, or I can break it up into manageable pieces.
Yeah.
And then you just drop that guy on turn 8 and win the game. So, yeah, it's just, but, like, when you do your first card assessments and stuff like that, I just remember looking at that thing, like, just saying, nope, not something I want to play
never
with.
Do that.
Whereas, like, I think the 3/3 Vigilance flying guy in black-white is probably my favorite limited card.
It's very good.
I love
it. That guy's almost unbeatable, too. That guy's
almost.
Like, that's the thing. Is I'd rather play him, you know, much further down the curve. So, but, you know, 5/5 flyers that blow things apart, those are good cards. Pro tip, right?
No, yeah, he's very good. I was very impressed. I don't know whether to consider him, like obviously in draft the evaluation is different, but in sealed he's definitely someone you need to consider including in your deck. I was very happy with that card. I mean, it was the card. It was the only reason I would play black white in my pool, and it lived up to every time. It was like the card that could save me in almost any situation. Granted, the rest of my deck was pretty shaky, so that's why he was so key. But I'm not sure how many PTQs I'm going to be playing about this format, so I do look forward to the next one, to the next set, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully you guys are wrong, and it's not Battle Cruiser Magic, and we can have a format where we're, it's less haymakering. If I can say that. The last draft I did online, one of the losses that still gets to me is the guy plays the 2/2 flyer in blue and then next turn untaps. Like, I'm going to win this game if he doesn't have the start, but then plays two ordeals on it, and then I just can't possibly come back from that. even though I had Polychronos in play. Yeah, I'm like, okay, that guy's just totally out of range now, and I'm fucked. And it's flying. So, and it sucked because, like, it was a 2-2, and I actually had the cure, the 2-damage spell in my hand. I'm like, I guess I should have left it up instead of playing my 5-5 for 4. And I would have won probably easily if I just did that line of play. But, you know, I decided to do the normal play and didn't win.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Jay, how was your week? I heard you finally got to go to that school.
Yeah, so I played, started from the beginning, I guess. I played that mono black deck at FNM, and it's fucking terrible, so I'm not going to ever play that deck again. I just find, like, in the meta that it's in, like, you have no answers to cards that just absolutely just dominate you. So, like Esper is popular. And so, like, it is becoming, like, something where, basically, like, if they play, like, Esper basically plays, like, I'm not familiar with the deck, but Esper basically plays, like, almost no creatures, and then, it, like, controls, like, with lots of removal and stuff, and then it has the Blood Baron of Viscopa, so Mono Black just doesn't have any cards that deal with that except for, like, Thoughtseize, hopefully. And then hopefully they sack it there. You force them to sack it when they play it into like an empty board. But then once they know you have, you know, that Innocent Blood card or whatever, they don't play it. Like, they're not going to play it into an open board anymore. So that was kind of crappy. Then I played the mirror and it's just boring. It's just like a lot of like back and forth garbage where you're just like, oh, drain you for 10. And then, like, okay, you deal me 10 damage, I'm at 4. Oh, drain you for 10 again. Okay, you deal me 10 damage, I'm at 4. Like, that happened a lot. And, like, the matches weren't fun. You know, like, they just happened, but they weren't... I wasn't having, like, a great time while they were happening. So I, like, went 1-1, and I changed my win to a loss so that I could draw. I was just like, whatever, this guy can have the win, I don't care. This format's stupid. And then... I've been doing a lot of grid drafting of my cube with Jason Clough, which is a sweet format that I've talked about on previous episodes, and it's super fun. And then what else did I do? I'm sure I played more Magic.
Did you go to a school?
Maybe I didn't play any more Magic. I did. So you guys still remember from the GP Calgary episode that I met and kind of hung out with a teacher, David Zielinski, from Carsland. No, Carstairs.
Carstairs.
Carstairs, who is like a music teacher who's like the head of the like Magic Club. And he is like basically putting on this club for students so that they can play Magic at school, because in like this small town there's no store, there's nowhere for them to play. They don't really have like a gaming store or even like a library or anything, right? To go play at. So I thought that was like pretty cool, and So I decided, oh, well, let's get, like, this thing going where we can maybe, you know, get some cards out to them and set that up, and hopefully they can, like, maybe benefit from this. So Jeremy Schofield, Scumbag Schofield, was gracious enough to donate some prizes.
That stuff got out to them?
Yeah, and did it made it there the day of, which was pretty sweet. And he sent, like, a box of, like, packs and stuff so they could draft, because that's the big thing. They don't have, they can't draft, so, you know, they don't have a store, so they really, you know, haven't been able to do that ever. What else?
Did you get to draft with them?
I was going to draft with them. There was 15, there was 15 kids that showed up, including the two teachers.
Yeah.
Wow. So I could have drafted. But I thought that was, like, I thought that was kind of, like, I don't know, like, I didn't, a lot of these kids had never drafted before, and I didn't want to be, like, the guy that just showed up and, like, even though I'm shitty at Theros and don't know how to play, I didn't want to be the guy that, like, shows up and then just, like, dominates these kids who've never played before with that I brought them. Like, that just seems like against the spirit, right? Not that they wouldn't have beaten me. Like, I'm sure there's good players and stuff. It just, like, it just seems like it's not in the spirit of it, right? So I didn't get to draft, but I did take a lot of pictures, and I got to, you know, help some kids out with their draft. There was a kid there that, like, basically had never played Magic before, ever. And he had, like, a really great time. And then I also organized some people to, like, take some, or to also donate for me, like some of my local friends. So Marenko Pavic was gracious enough to donate 24 packs of RTR blocks so they could do another draft of that, as well as, like, a poster, 4 deck boxes, including a 20-sided dice in each, a whole pile of just, like, random foils and rares, because they have, like, this communal 4-row box that they use.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen them at, like, commons boxes and stuff at, like, local gaming stores. They have one of those, and they call it their traders or whatever. And what they do is, like, they just kind of pool their cards together. And if there's, you know, a card that somebody wants to play with, they go in there and they can just grab it and make, like, a deck out of it or whatever, right? And then when they're done with those cards, like, oh, I don't like this deck anymore, I'm going to, like, make a new deck. Then, you know, they can put their cards back in and then get some new cards out. No big deal, right? So, you know, we put those in. It was kind of cool. And then my friend Adrian donated a couple of draft sets. And they're, like, they just have, like, they have RTR coming out, like, the Ying Yang. Like, a long time ago, probably, like, a year ago, maybe even, Helene Bergeau was cleaning out her office at the Wizard, like, spring cleaning event. And she was like, look what I found. And she tweeted a picture of, like, oh, I found 2 boxes of French Avacyn Restored. And I was like, oh man, those are so sweet. And I was talking to her in French, and I was like, that's so wicked. And what do I have to do? I was just, as a joke, I was like, what do I have to do to get something like that? And she was like, give me your address. And I was like, oh man. So she sent me some French Avacyn, and then it took
Whoa, just because you were tweeting in French?
Yeah, well, not in French, but obviously because I'm so debonair and suave. At the time, I wasn't married, right? So,
hey.
Yeah. She hooked me up with some French Avacyn Restored, but this was before I knew that I didn't like the format. So I was, like, excited to get this. Then I drafted a bit in anticipation of this French box, and then it turned out that I didn't really like the format, because, again, it's Battlecruiser Magic, no removal. And so what I did is I decided to save it, and I thought, you know, I'm not just going to, like, open this just for no reason, or I'm not just going to use it for just something stupid. I definitely want to make sure that I use it, you know, for something special, almost, I guess you could say. So I traded it in for, like, I like to keep stuff relevant. I like to keep my stuff relevant all the time. So I traded it for a box of M14 when M14 came out, because Avacyn was rotating soon, and I didn't want to, like, get stuck with a box that I couldn't trade if nobody wanted to draft that format since it rotated, you know? Plus the value of the cards goes down, so if anybody wants to draft that and then they don't want that value or whatever, then it just becomes kind of crappy. So I traded it for M14, and then I didn't draft any M14, so then I traded it for some RTR, and then I finally traded it for a box of Gatecrash, and the whole time just kind of saving it and waiting, because I'd been winning a lot of packs from pre-releases and stuff, not really needing them. And then I met David, and he told me about his kids that never get to play sealed and never get to play draft and stuff. So I thought, you know, I'll take it up there, and we can gunsling it, or we can trade it for some stuff, or they can buy the packs, or we can use them for whatever. Like, one thing that I was talking to David about, I was like, you know, what might be cool, because the kids don't have, like, a local store, but they still want to be able to draft and stuff, and obviously, you know, like, you as a teacher can't just buy them Magic cards all the time. Like, that obviously just probably doesn't work for them. So I was, you know, thinking, like, what you could do is, if you wanted, you could, like, you don't have to give this stuff away. It's up to you. This is all your prize. So if you wanted to set up, like, a little Magic fund, like a little store, so you can have a draft after school with anyone who wants to draft. Like, you don't have to set it up as a big special event and go to Calgary to get packs. You know, just set it up, and it's, you know, $3 a pack, $5 a pack, $2 a pack, whatever. And if, you know, you got six kids that want to draft and six kids that don't, well, the six kids can run a draft. Who cares, right? So, so I went out there. So all in total, they got 24 packs from Adrian, 24 packs from Marenko, plus a bunch of, like, random commons and cards and stuff. Then they got a box of Gatecrash from me, a box of M14 from Face to Face Games. I feel like there's another box of something, but I've forgotten.
I've done also, that box of RTR block.
Oh, yeah, you sent a box, like a whole box of RTR block, so they could do more. So they've got, like, those packs are, like, never going to run out.
That's awesome.
And then Face to Face also sent, like, a lot of really cool stuff. Like, they sent, like 8 Future Sight pre-con.
Like, that's awesome. It was
really cool. I almost wanted to steal them, but I didn't, obviously. But they sent 2 of each of them. There's 4. And they sent 2 of each of the Future Sight ones, which was really cool. And they, like, a lot of the stuff those kids have never seen before. They've had no experience with those, like, mechanics, or, you know, they've never seen a card like Magus. Like, they don't know the Magus cycle, right? So they've never seen Magus of the Future or whatever, where they can play cards from the top of their deck. So I think that's going to be, like, something that's really cool for them to kind of experiment with. So there's that, and then Jeremy sent some Canadian flag sleeves, which I think is really cool, and all the kids, actually, like, I was very surprised, but all the kids were, like, super jacked about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they were super jacked about it.
Yeah, like, literally when I was driving over to, like, the Staples, like, when I was leaving my house, I just looked at my desk, and it's like, okay, what else do I've got? And I saw those 3 packs of sleeves, so it's like, okay, well, let's just throw those in.
Yeah, and they were, like, they were super jacked about it. Like, there was a lot of kids that were like, oh, my God, I'm taking these. And so out, and he's like, I dibsed it. And they're like, you can't dibs it. And then one guy's like, I just did. And then it's like, no, you can't. And then it's like, well, there's locked, man. So just chill. Like, you can just chill. But it's locked. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. And then there are some penny sleeves that were thrown in there, posters, deck boxes, just, like, lots of really cool stuff that these kids just don't really get. Oh, man! And then I totally forgot about this. Jeremy also included 2 Fight the Hydra decks.
Yeah, I managed to. Those are, like, actually from the fine folks at Warp 2 in Edmonton.
Ah, Warp 2, there you go.
Yes. Shout out. I went and I told Buddy, it's like, okay, I want to buy those decks. Why?
Yeah.
It's like, why do you want them? Well, I want to send them to this school in Carstairs. It's for these kids. And he's like, well, I promised them to this guy, but then he, like, grabbed them off the shelf and gave them to me, and he's like, just make sure to rub it in the other guy's face.
Whoa, nice.
Hey.
So, yeah. Mike, you rock. He listens.
Yeah, he does rock. And the kids loved it. So they'd never seen anything like it. The teachers had never seen anything like it. And so I was basically gunslinging the Hydra the whole, like, night. And I thought that, like, they thought it was super cool. And I played this one match. We basically played against their draft deck. And they were, like, really surprised. Because, you know, turn one, it's like the Hydra deals 2 damage to you, untapped. And then it's like, reveal, oh, 5 damage to you. And they're like, holy God. And then, you know, so there's, like, that going on. They're just, like, losing it. This one kid's draft deck, he had 5 different Pegasus in it.
5 different Pegasus?
Like, he had 5 Pegasi. So that was sweet. He just absolutely dominated the Hydra deck. But what was happening is every time the Hydra, he would kill a head, I would flip, like, 2 sorceries.
Okay.
Which is nothing.
Yeah.
And then on my turn, I would flip 1 head. So then he'd kill it. I'd flip 2 sorceries, untap, flip a head. So he actually milled out the Hydra deck, and there's no rules in the insert that's included for what you do when that happens. So we just assumed you have to beat the Hydra deck, and the only way to beat it, that it says, is to kill all the heads and have them flip none. So basically he just recycled the Hydra deck. So he had to play 1.5 times through the Hydra. And then another guy played against the Hydra, and he was playing Mono Black in his draft, and he had like 4 Gray Merchants of Asphodel, which of course the Hydra doesn't have any life total, so those don't do anything.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like some of it's like
sweet.
They just
had a really great time, and I think it was a really cool experience for them. And I'm like super. It made me feel really glad that like even if I don't really like this format or I don't, you know, I don't get to play as much Magic as I would like to because I have like a real life. These kids are like just starting their really cool journey on the Magic land, and it's really cool to be able to like help them out. I think it's like something that. It's a cause that I really supported, you know.
Well, so. It was super awesome of you to like kind of organize all that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it was really cool. And I mean, like, there's some people that said they donated and that stuff never made it and whatever. But you know, I think the big issue is just mostly like everybody has lots of stuff going on in their lives, and so I don't think that anybody should feel bad if they didn't get to donate or didn't get to participate. And I think the people that did, like, I think you did something super amazing and super great, and you should feel great about it. And you know, I mean, I think the message is just to continue doing that, you know, if you can. Try to just foster that stuff, you know. If you're going to crush a kid at F&M, crush him. Teach him the value of winning and losing, because I think that it's stupid that society doesn't value that right now. But, you know, at the same time, you can teach him, or at the same time, you could pass something on to him that, for you, is probably nothing. Like, I have like 3 boxes worth of product that I've just, you know, never used from pre-releases and game days and drafts, winnings and stuff that I can't spend fast enough. And you know what? I'm sure that in that box of Gate Crash, there was probably cards that are worth money. And I'm sure in all the product that Jeremy sent down and that my other friends sent down, there was cards that are going to be worth money and stuff. But like, they're just collecting dust in my truck. And I think they're much more valuable in the hands of these kids. You know, to foster that than they ever are just sitting in my truck waiting for me to do my regular old once a week team draft with a bunch of Jobins, you know?
Well, yeah, and like that's the thing, is it's just like this case of like, we're in situations where if we want to make that happen, we can make that happen. Those guys aren't in that situation. They can't just pull a draft out of thin air. And, you know, it's like if you need to, like, the product I had sitting around was like literally just sitting around, so. Yeah, get rid of it.
That's
do
the thing.
Something
like,
good with it.
It's not. It's like when people say, like, "Oh, I got this Hallowed Fountain. It's worth $12." I'm like, "Well, it's only worth $12 if somebody will buy it for $12, right?"
Yeah.
So I think, you know, for me, that stuff is basically worthless to me because I'm not using it. It's not. It doesn't have a value. But to these kids, it was probably worth millions of dollars. You know, and like it was so funny because these kids are like, you know, they're opening. They opened. One kid opened a Matt M. He opened, I believe, he opened a Elspeth in his first pack, and he just goes like, "Oh man, I don't play white." And like, remember that? Remember when that was life? Yeah. Remember when you played Magic and you were like, "Man, Crawworm? Oh yeah, taking that." You know, and like, he took the Elspeth and he ended up going 0-3, and his deck was actually sweet. You know, it just happens. Sometimes that happens. You know,
yeah,
but. It was just too funny to hear him open that and just be like, and then he was like, "Man," I was like, "How'd you do tonight?" And he's like, "0-3. I was like, "Whatever, you got a $40 card, who cares? Play it and win, or just like sell it and make money, make the dollars back." And he was like, "Oh yeah, that's sweet." And like, there was just lots of kids like that. It was just really cool to just be around some regular, new, fresh, excited blood, you know?
Non-jaded Magic players.
Yeah. And not even just non-jaded, but just non-know-it-all and non-bossy and non-I'm the best and non-you should do this and just, like, non-Magic community members, because I, like, it was just so refreshing to not just have to deal with that and just look like, you know, people just enjoyed the game and wanted to play Magic with their friends, which unfortunately I can't do anymore. I've gone past that. So it was cool. It was really fun. I had a really great time. So I'm going to write an article, and I don't know if any of you out there own websites and want this article, let me know.
What a fucker.
I'll sell it to the highest bidder, KYT. No cheap.
thought you were doing this for the kids. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I went out there for the kids.
He wrote the article for himself.
Yeah, come on.
You forgot to mention the most important detail to me. What's the name of the school again?
Oh, yeah, Hugh Sutherland School, which is like, it's such a weird random year as well. It's grade 4 to grade 12.
Oh, it's middle
school. I don't know what that's all about.
Wow, what the?
So, like, I don't know where you go to school from grades 1 to 3, and I don't know why they make that distinction. But, yeah, it's Hugh Sutherland.
I feel like one day one of them is going to win a pro tour. Like,
man, it would be so wicked as if they go on and win a pro tour, and then they're
absolutely.
Like, thanks to Jay Boosh. Also, you know what else was really cool? Is David Talinsky, Mr. S, the music teacher that kind of set it all up. He kept calling us Team A, and like instead of the A team, but like also Team A, like instead of Team B, which I thought was funny. And so I like didn't correct him at all day. I was just like,
awesome.
Yeah, it was funny. So we are Team A. Welcome to Team A, episode 1. How's everybody doing?
That'll be the PG show.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me, at my PTQ, I was playing against a Francophone, so I'm wearing my Mana Deprived t-shirt and my Mana Deprived hoodie, obviously. And so that a friend of mine a fan of the website to my left, from Quebec City, and then I'm playing a Francophone, but he's willing to speak English, I guess, with me, so we're playing in English. Then he looks at my t-shirt, so it's like, are you like a fan of Mana Deprived? And instead of just like delaying it, like I've done, like I've talked about, I think last
in the past,
where I just like, yeah, I try to like.
Because technically you are, right? If you like, I'm a fan of the A-team.
Yeah.
Right. So I try to be low-key, you know, or I just, like, reveal it later when I talk to the guy again. I'm like, okay, I'll just be straight up. I'm like, no, I'm actually the owner. And he's, like, blown away. Then he's like, yeah, I listen to you guys all the time. Every episode, I love it. And it's, I feel like, it's just still kind of weird for me, for him to at least not acknowledge me as, like, KYT from the show. So it's like, does he, like, which show is he actually talking about on Mana Deprived? And, like, does he actually know who I am out of the four?
You know, you would be able to tell if he was wearing an A-team t-shirt.
Oh, no! You fucker!
Just putting it out there.
You have to say the M word all the time. I actually like to hear you say it. Hashtag merch. But it was kind of weird. It was just like, yeah, thanks. But do you know who I am?
Know who I am?
Imagine he names like some other podcast that it's like, Monday Night Magic, right?
Man, you're Ruben Bressler? Wow. Yeah.
You're Maddie Studios?
Yeah. No. You must be Michael J. Flores, no. So, but it was sweet. It was sweet to know that some people who, at least if I'm not mistaken, are Francophones, tune in to the A-Team every single week, apparently. So
that's cool. I feel like we should put out a French cast, but it would probably be terrible.
Yeah, it would. I mean,
Didn't you try that one?
Didn't we try an intro? Or
but didn't you do like a French? Or did you have a French podcast on the site like 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it was an idea. It never came to fruition.
Okay.
We had French. We had someone do French videos.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. And we talked about maybe doing a podcast if they were successful.
Right. We did. So.
That's funny. But yeah, no, I think that's like that's sweet. Then like I had that something sort of happen like that. I was at Phoenix doing F&M and hating my life. And this guy was down probably for the PTQ, which I didn't get to go to because I had to work. Being a tradesperson, you work weekends.
Yep.
Just randomly all the time, which is perfect for me. I love working weekends. So he's like down from Saskatoon or something, and he's like in for the PTQ. He's playing FNM and whatever, and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And then he sees my shirt, and I'm with Jason Clough, right? Who's like a big, like one of our biggest fans, and also like just a hilarious 40-year-old man. And he's like, "Oh, are you you guys like you like Manaprai? Like are you on Team Manatee, man?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, sweet, sweet." And then Jason just right away is like, "You don't know who this is? This is Jay Boosh, man. Jay Boosh. The motherfucking 18. You don't know who that is? You know who this is?" And the guy, like, very obviously had no fucking idea, but was like, "Oh, yeah, cool. That's sweet." And then, like, went back to looking at cards, and then was like, "So, did you go to Dublin then with the other guys?" I was like, "Oh no, I didn't make it." Like, stop embarrassing me, Jason. But it's always funny when people ask us, like, I forget that, like, most of our fans are, which is odd, but most of like the our fans are not from where I am, not even remotely.
No.
So it's always funny when someone recognizes, and like most people don't. Most people are like, they'll talk to, like they'll all overhear them talking about the A-Team, and like they have no idea that that's me, and I'll just be like, "Yeah, I like that show as well."
Well, yeah, it's like people that I've been playing cards with, people that I've been friends with for a while now, where they sit there and they're like, they come up and they start talking to me about something we were talking, you know, on the cast, and it was just like, you know, it's like kind of like this random spur conversation out of nowhere, and it's just like, so it's like, okay, well, you listen to the A-Team. This is how I'm figuring this out. Like, where you're talking to me about something that we talked about on the show. So it's just been really weird to, like, you know, kind of like understand, like, that there's a wide community of people who listen, and it's like people I didn't know who listened before, you know, I was on the show. So it was really cool. And really just like awkward at times.
I mean, JJ talked about something that I experienced on a frequent basis, is where people assume that I'm 100% linked to the Pro Tour team, and I'm not. It's like, so how do I get on, you know, how do I get to team up with Team Adipri for the next Pro Tour, or how do I get this person on that team? I'm like, you know, it's not me to decide that. I just work on the website, I do the podcast, I do everything else, I help start things up, but Pro Tour team, you talk to Alex, hey, you talk to John Stern, you don't talk to me. It has nothing to do with me. But now, like, they're team face-to-face games, so whenever...
Just contact Peter, he'll get you in touch with everyone you need.
Yeah. Whenever Team Matter Deprive gets a resurgence, whenever I make the Pro Tour, we'll see if that ever happens.
We will make it.
We, okay.
Yeah, we'll both top 8 Toronto. Oh, you're not going.
You made it before, so let's not, we're not in the same boat here. You made it before, Mr. Second, which is hilarious, because you've never top 8 at a PTQ, but you...
No, I have zero PTQ top 8s.
Yeah.
One GP top 8.
One win away from, like, XO-ing the whole thing, which is really impressive still.
Which is insanity.
Yeah.
And somehow he's not very good at Magic.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible. I'm the best player in Vancouver who doesn't live in Vancouver and is the most terrible player in any other city in Canada. And most of the U.S. cities, or at least the ones I've been to. Salt Lake City, I actually played some decent Magic in.
Hmm. Well, there you have it.
Well, let's just go. I guess, Jeremy, you have anything to add? I guess we can go through some of the comments.
Sure.
Jeremy, once again, I think this is not the first time where some of our fans feel like you come across as a little entitled.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeremy Schofield.
Yeah, scumbag, I mean, Schofield.
He's a scumbag, but he's not.
Wait, Jay, were you on for our discussion about the Edmonton PTQ?
No, I missed the last episode, unfortunately.
Okay, so pretty much how it went is, like, part of the thing I was discussing was that, like, at the Edmonton PTQ, we didn't have, you know, like, there's the grinder group, there's the Alberta grinders, like, there are guys that you always see in the top 8. Well, in the Edmonton PTQ, they weren't there. you know, Francis made it, and, you know, a couple of the Saskatchewan guys who were really good made it. But, like, there was also guys in there who were just not frequent PTQ top eighters. And in Alberta, you know, you get, like, one or two of them in a top eight usually, but you don't usually get, like, four, you know? Like, it,
sure,
yeah. And, like, even, like, some of the guys that you, like, recognize there are, like, guys who are just, like, not, like, constantly there. And, you know, it's just, like, the way I was talking, it was Vault Guy. What's Vault Guy's name? What is Vault Guy?
It's like, it's Vault Guy. I don't know.
You know, super awesome.
What?
Like,
Vault 101 dude.
Vault dude, yeah. He's an awesome guy. And, you know, he's always got great feedback. He's always, like, you know, got all the great quotes. So, like, you know, it's just, like, a guy I really respect. And he said, you know, I kind of came across, like, I was rude, like, saying that I didn't feel like those guys deserved to be in the top eight. And
yeah, you're an Alberta Magic player. You probably did sound like that then.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it was more like just trying to, like, you know, I was even talking about it earlier just today. It's, you know, just trying to say that Theros, since the card pools have, like, all these nutty things and all the power stuff that can come out of these pools and how you need to have, like, these really synergistic decks and how I feel like some pools just don't have any game to them, more so than other formats.
And I would agree. Like, I've seen a cat top eight GPT here with Theros. Like, the pools are just autoplay. Right?
Yeah. So, like, and, like, that's what I felt like was, you know, that was the point I was trying to get across, is that, like, it's no, these people, I'm not saying that they're not entitled to it. I'm excited when they get it. Like, it's something I've never gotten. And, like, the guy from the local shop, when I saw him, he got second. I saw him the next day. We had, like, a quick little, like, chat, you know. I was just, like, really excited for him. Like, that's awesome. But the point I'm trying to get across is that, like, there's a lot of guys who will put a lot of work and a lot of testing and a lot of, like, they're just grinding into it. And it's like, you know, these are the better players. Like, if you watch a hockey game, they don't run the fourth line guys all the time. And I'm not saying that the fourth line guys
don't deserve to be in the NHL.
Yeah, you know? It's just that they're not the top guys. And when you don't see the top guys at the top table, like, it says, why is that? You know, when I always see these guys at the top tables, what has changed here? Have they gotten worse? Do we have a new, you know, crowd of up-and-comers? Like, maybe that's the case. That's awesome. But I think it more leads into, what's the format different? How is the format different? When was the last time I saw something like this happen? Abyssin Restored. Okay. And you know what? Like, I say that that's, like, you know, it's a good time for players who, you know, aren't the consistent at the top players, because it gives them a chance to play against those guys, because even though those guys are opening up pools that might not be so strong, they're still going to get into the later rounds. They're still going to, you know, stretch that pool out as long as it can go. And if you've got, like, this, you know, like, just golden pool, and you're playing against these guys that you see at the tournaments and you never actually get a chance to sit down and play with them, like, that's great experience. Those are games that you, like, should cherish. You should replay in your head over and over again, take a lot of notes, and it's really good. And, like, this is a great time because, you know, you get to spike these random tournaments. Like, Abyssin Restored was one of those really strange pool formats. I got second at a Grand Prix. That's Abyssin Restored. I don't think that was Jeremy Schofield. I think that was Abyssin Restored. Well, it was a little bit like, I was in a big zone. I felt like $1 billion at that tournament. Like, there was nothing holding me back. And, you know, but it was like this, like, combination of things that came together. And it was this format where it was just like, the cards can just, you know, do extra things. Like, I had a Wolfier Silverheart. I got to cast Wolfier Silverheart on curve 85% of my games. I only had one deck I didn't have Wolfier Silverheart, and that was in the top eight. And, like, that card's a good card. I like to play it. And, like, that's the thing, is that sometimes you just get, like, the money like that. So, you know, it's not saying that you're, you know, I'm entitled to it. I'd love to be entitled to it. I'd love to be in a position where I can, you know, constantly, you know, factor in that I'm going to be one of these top eight guys. And I'm friends with a lot of those guys in Alberta. And it's just like, when you see that they're not making it, you just have to sit there and go, well, why is that?
Yeah.
I'm excited for anybody.
Like, the Alberta Magic scene is pretty caustic and volatile. And like, it can be for new players, especially players that are unknown. Cause it's a very elite club of not necessarily good players. Not that there's not good players, just like, there's some people that include themselves in that club that shouldn't be in that club, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It can be a very
scary and offensive place to be.
It's very inclusive.
Yeah.
Very inclusive. Like, they do chat amongst themselves very tight. Like, I'm kind of on the fringe of that group. So, you know, I do interact with all of them. I do get to hang out with all of them. I do go and draft with all of them. But, you know, like, there's still, like, another layer where, like, they are having, like, their constant chats, constant testing, you know, like, they test together and they don't, you know, bring up.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, there's, like, forums that are making fun of other people that, like, are, like, you know, and then there's forums created so that, and then, like, everybody gets invited, and then there's sub-forums that are privately created so that other people can't be a part of those, and then, you know, and then, like, just the talks at the FNMs, PTQs, and GPTs, like, just things like that can be daunting for certain players, right? So,
yeah, it is a cool kids club.
Some people could be offended, but I think that you're probably one of the only people that I would trust to be in the right place for that, you know? I don't think you were being a jerk at all, I would imagine, and I didn't even hear what you said.
Well, it's just I get passionate about things, and I don't think about that angle. And,
right.
You know, like, that's the thing, is I don't want anybody to be discouraged. I don't want anybody to think that they don't belong at a PTQ. Because... That's how you start. That's how you start, is you go and you lose.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go and you have to lose a lot. And sometimes you're like some wonder kid and you don't have to lose a lot. But I had to do a ton of losing to get to where I am today. And really, I'm not in a great place right now. I want to get to a better place. So I got to go lose some more. And just got to make sure you're learning from those losses. And you got to ask yourself those questions where it's like, you know, you take notice. You got to figure out who are the players that are better than me, and then you've got to try and find them and play them. And if they're not winning, you got to figure out why are they not winning, you know? And it's sometimes it's those players have changed their focus, they're doing other things, but like sometimes it's part of the deck. And that's kind of where I was getting to. Like, I don't want to discourage anybody, and I don't want anybody to think that they're not good enough to go to a PTQ. I always try to encourage as many people to go to a PTQ. I love competitive Magic, and that is the best competitive Magic that we get into. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a long, passionate talk, Jeremy. We had comments about good feedback on my Asian stories and people who wanted to...
Fuck, did I miss the Asian stories even?
Yeah, I guess. So a lot of people used to want my dad on the show because his name's King Ho, but then some stories about my grandfather has got people wanting him on. One comment from Cirician, I guess. When KYT got to the stories about his grandpa, I started to giggle a lot. I went back to the beginning and played it for my girlfriend, who is also Chinese. 2 minutes later, she was crying from laughter and saying, "Nothing I ever do is good enough." This made that whole section even funnier for me. KYT, you aren't the only Asian out there with that problem, apparently. You're totally right. It's an Asian culture thing. So to update sort of my listeners and Jay on some of the things I said last week, it was like, I guess, a stepping stone in the relationship between me and my girlfriend, because for the first time I decided to, over dinner, asked her parents if I could take her to Hawaii this December, because I actually have to fly out for yet another wedding. So one of my closest friends is there.
Is that the Vancouver weekend?
That I didn't. I hope not, and I... I don't know. Anyways, so because Jay, I actually found out last week that my yet another wedding this year, I have to go to the Netherlands, is on the same weekend.
The Netherlands?
As GP Toronto. That's why I can't make it, which is hilarious because it's as if my friends planned out to fuck me because I missed GP Calgary because of a wedding. So, but anyways, I asked her parents. I got the "we'll think about it" answer from the parents, and found out really quickly later that night that her parents just blatantly told her no that
what?
Night. So I got no cert.
Whoa! My parents, they don't like you or what?
I think it's still like they like me all right. They
just don't want her getting any spring roll with extra sauce.
Correct.
Up in here.
Correct. So they don't really love the idea of us staying together overnight. Any, I think it doesn't matter, regardless of where that place is. And you know, it's tough to be a Canadian and have all of you guys and every friend have possibly done that or live with someone before they get married. It's so, you know, that concept's obviously still totally alien to her parents and I would say mine as well. I don't think they would totally be too happy with that stuff. So, you know, it was tough. Like, it took a lot of balls for me to ask, just because I knew the answer was probably no. So,
right.
So it was tough. And
KYT's got balls, you know?
I got balls.
He's got balls.
So the thing about my grandfather, Jay, was just like, he's just like a crazy old man. I love him. But he would say things like, the thing I mentioned last week was one time he would, I was just sleeping in. It was like 11 a.m. It wasn't even that late and he would just slam open the door and say, and tell me, like, in Chinese though, like, he sounded angry, like, don't sleep too much type thing. And I just like wake up instantly, like, what the fuck, man? Like, why'd you have to do that? And last week I decided to show up early at work. And so I'm up and for some reason he's also up. And then he just makes a comment like, you know, sometimes waking up too early isn't good for your health type thing. And it's just like, so you like when you actually want me to wake up type thing. And so it seems every single time he just like has some negative thing to say about anything. Like the other example I mentioned was my girlfriend last one of the Christmas bought me a coffee machine, and sometimes I would just get up to make coffee and he would just go on this rant about how coffee's bad for me or how coffee specifically made from a coffee machine is bad for me. And it's just been tough to have him go on about that stuff. Glad people can relate. And he loves to constantly remind me of shit that I'm starting to find annoying. I even tell my mom, and my mom finds it hilarious because so every week we have to push like the giant recycling bin out in front on the sidewalk. And every morning, the next morning, he would try to remind me constantly that I have to bring it back into the driveway, like bring it back back to the garage, let's say, from the sidewalk. But he would mention it every single morning and then mention how like he's too old to bring it back himself. But like, I'm just like, no one's telling you to go do this shit. Like, have to tell me like every week, like he, and how he goes to precise detail about how like his legs are too old, like he can't possibly, it's like, and then in my head, I'm just like, no one's fucking telling you to do this chore that I'm going to do at any time today. I don't have to do it in the morning.
The obvious solution is he wants a ride a mower that he can go and pick the thing up with himself.
And yeah, it's been hilarious. And he asked me tonight, like, if he can make me breakfast tomorrow morning. He constantly asked me that. Thinks cereal is terrible for me. So it's like, yeah. I'm eating a bowl, and then, like, he's ready to, he's like, at the drop of a hat, he's like, I'm ready to make a bun for you if you want it. I'm like, and usually I'm too nice, so I'm like, okay, fine. So, but now it's like, enough of this bullshit. No, I don't want it. I don't want no fucking bun. I'm going to work. My mom has even suggested that I should wake up earlier so I just avoid this awkward BS and just go straight to work.
What the fuck? That's so funny. Like, what a funny thing to have to deal with. Man.
It's fabulous. Some people were interested in joining a Moto League with the A-Team, Jeremy, so maybe we can set that up somehow. We've got to figure the logistics of that.
I can't really check my email on the computer. How do you say it? Ives? I'm terrible with names. Mr. McCray.
Eves, probably.
Eves? Okay, Mr. McCray. I'm pretty sure this fellow actually reached out to me already, and we're trying to figure out something. So as soon as we have a little bit more put together,
then we're probably going to, you know, like, I'll talk to you, KYT, and see if there's something that we can do to make this all come together.
Let's get Jay to say his name.
Put what, him, Eve?
Is that Eve's McCray, right?
Yeah, it's probably just Eve, but...
Hey,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, like that.
He's like a French Scot. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's like French.
It's like, yeah, a Templar.
It's been one of those things where, like, work's just been super crazy, and, like, just coming home, and my wife hasn't been feeling too good, and, you know, just trying to take care of the little one. So I've got a long weekend coming up here, so I'm really excited to kind of dig in and try and do something with that, to try and, you know, get a framework put into to the air. Hopefully might be able to get some listeners who can kind of pick it up and run with it a little bit more. You know, it's the funny thing is that, you know, like, this is a tool, a community for people who don't have the time to test aggressively and test a lot, and trying to find people, you know, who have extra time to actually, you know, put it together is kind of like the paradox. So we'll see where we can get with that.
Well, at least you don't live with your grandfather.
No, but I'd have more time if someone would make me breakfast.
Yeah.
Buns all day, man. Nothing but buns.
All them buns.
All the buns.
So, GP Vancouver. That was another question in there. I'm in.
What's the exact date? And I probably have a wedding.
Yeah.
I don't have any vacation next year.
February.
I'm in like the Dominican, so I used up all my...
You actually have vacation?
Yes.
That's wild.
What? Okay.
I don't know. In at least I guess, you know, in the union, you pretty much just like go up to your boss and you say, hey, I'm disappearing for 4 days, and they say, okay, or they lay you off, and then you go and get another job if they lay you off when you get back from your vacation. So, it's kind of weird like that.
That makes sense. February is actually possible for me, so. I assume I'm going to get a wedding invite in the next few weeks or in the coming days, so maybe not.
Any of the listeners who KYT is really strong friends with, book your wedding. That's the weekend. Yeah,
that's the weekend to like, GP Montreal, there's I'm not attending any wedding. That is going to happen regardless because it's my birthday weekend. I'm not flying anywhere, staying in Montreal.
For everybody who's trying to figure out what's going on with GP Train to GP Montreal, we are supposed to have more information towards the end of the month, so keep listening.
We need to start some, yeah.
I think some of the basic stuff that we need to get for people, though, is just, like, what time are we hoping for, like, afternoon or morning or whatever like that, and where is it departing from, so where do they fly? Americans who are looking for cheap solutions, honestly, you probably want to fly into Buffalo, and then hopefully someone can arrange like a trip from Buffalo, like a Buffalo van up to Toronto or something like that.
Yeah,
even like a Detroit thing, and they can drive in from over there, like Sarnia or Sault Ste. Marie or whatever, Windsor.
Right. Someone probably has to start like a Facebook group of some kind at some point, so yeah, that people are not just like freaking asking on Twitter and hoping that one of the many sources answer. Like, hopefully we get all this information in one spot somewhere, whether it be on a web page or in a Facebook group or in
email
thread. I don't know. But we got to get that happening soon. So with that, I think we're good to end the show.
I have one question for Boosh. I know with the new job and everything like that, GP Toronto is pretty much off the plate now.
Well, I'm using all my vacation next year to go to the Dominican in February. So, again, because my wife just can't, I can't say no to her, and she doesn't understand the concept of real life. So,
I understand.
But yeah, so GP in December is probably off the table because I don't have any vacation this year, and I've already probably missed too much time getting a migraine Friday and today.
Okay, so, yeah.
And also, I'm poor and broke. Like, because of the way that I was only unemployed for like a week and a half, but because of the way that my job pays me, I was like basically didn't get paid for like a month and a half. So this month I basically didn't pay my rent, which is wicked. And buying food when you can't pay your rent is pretty cool feeling. So yeah, so I'm probably not going to come to GP Toronto or wherever you just did.
We love you. We love you.
Absolutely.
You Sutherland.
You Sutherland. See, but even in your time of greatest despair, You can always give to people that are more something.
Only when their school name is that awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, both of my grandpa's forward. Names were Hugh.
What?
Yep.
That's pretty funny. Where was your high school? What were you going to say, Jay?
I was going to say, I went to King George Elementary
School. Whoa, that's pretty boss.
Yeah.
I don't think I went to a cool name.
No?
Nope. No. I mean, Centennial Regional High School is a pretty
yeah, that's sounding. Garbage.
Major General Grispa School.
Grispa?
Grispa.
Grispa?
Yeah.
All right, I guess we're done. One of our first,
All right, thanks for tuning in to Team A.
Team A.
Team A. Stay tuned for B Team.
Stay tuned for Team B.
Or as we like to call it, Heavy Meta.
Hey, they have merch, man.
They do. They have great merch.
Okay, cut the shit. Cut the shit out.
Cut the shit.
Cut the shit out. Bye, guys.
Bye. Yeah. Perfect. Excuse me, I burped. Kyle might edit that out, but if he doesn't, too bad.
That one's for the listeners. That's one's for the ones that care.
Yeah. That's, like, you know, it's raw. It's real.
Not scripted.
What's happening with the other two Jovens on this podcast?